to Wine by the Case, Uncorking Legal Insights, one or maybe two or three bottles at a time. Chris still hasn't gotten us up to a case.
I'm working on it.
I am Alexis Rosenberg, a.k.a. Litigation Lex. I am a legal commentator, a litigation attorney, and...
I am Chris Sensnick. I handle employment law issues, and I call myself the Employment Law Whisperer. And we're going to be uncorking legal insights. And again, we'll get up to that case at some point. But we've got some complex issues today, and both not only just how the world looks at it, but how the law looks at it. Mm-hmm. But we do want to say happy holidays to everybody. We have lovely Alexis here dressed as a present. And
I should stand up.
That's fabulous. So I went total nerd geek and went with my Star Wars Christmas tree. May the force be with you. And this is actually a Star Wars TV shirt. So
it's super cute. You can't really see it.
It's got the reindeer on the at or AT-AT, depending on what school you come from, for the Star Wars people. But we've got some really cool thoughts today because they are as complex as we'd like to say as a vintage Bordeaux. Because we've got civil allegations, we've got criminal allegations, we've got settlement discussions, and we got very famous people involved.
We got trending.
We do. So one of the things that, of course, is trending, and you can't avoid it even if you try, is the notion of Jay-Z and the allegations that have been made against him. So
before we get to that, we dive in to all those different layers. We're going to taste a very layered and complex red wine. What do we got, Chris?
We thought this was perfect.
Conundrum. Very Dana White of you.
Yes. Very Dana White. Here we go. This is Conundrum, and this is interesting because it is actually a Camus varietal. So it's their low end. So it's about $20 a bottle. But still, it has a screw cap. I mean, for goodness sake.
Come on, Jay-Z.
I mean, this whole notion of a screw cap on a Camus bottle, you can get $2 chuck with a cork. So, but at the same time, we want to try this
labeled
one.
Labeled.
Yeah.
Branded
yeah.
cork.
But what this is interesting is because people who like Camus will sometimes just get this one as they jokingly say, a daily drinker. So we'll try it.
And you picked this because of the name Conundrum, because it looks like Jay-Z has gotten himself into a little bit of
conundrum, but he's coming out swinging, let's face it. So let's find out, because we thought, you know, with as complex as an issue as we had, we knew it had to be a red wine. And we thought a blend was also a good idea, because we have a blend of civil and criminal topics to discuss today. So cheers.
Cheers.
Definitely getting the cherry.
I actually like this. My white trash version, it doesn't taste like prunes. The only thing is, it doesn't really have any sharpness. It's kind of,
it's a little on
as
the thin
kids
side.
Would say, it's mid.
It's a little on the thin side, but it's got some spice to it, as will our topic today.
Yes, it will.
So I'm going to talk about some of the basics of just in the legal world, what it means to offer somebody to say, look, we've got some issues, you want to settle this without going to litigation. So settlement demands are part of our daily life. I mean, we don't go a week without at least one settlement demand, if not more. They get complex because it's a demand. It's, I want something from you.
Mm-hmm.
And in exchange
give it to me. Yep. Millions of dollars.
Yes, $1 million. I love that. We can write a check right now. But this notion of saying, and I won't do blank, is where the topic today is really interesting. Because if the answer is, I won't sue you, I won't put all this stuff into a public pleading, and I won't make your life miserable in litigation for the next 2.5 years, because litigation is miserable no matter what.
So you're talking, just to clarify for the mm-hmm. listeners, you're talking about a demand for settlement mm-hmm. prior to litigation.
Prior to litigation.
Because everybody knows, if you've ever been involved in litigation, at some point there's some settlement negotiation. So we're mm-hmm. talking about before there hasn't been a lawsuit filed at this point.
Before you have been served by a process server. So this notion of, I want this in exchange for that, I mean, it's a little bit more complex than this wine. At the same time, if you've got criminal charges that could happen, such as, you stole something.
Well, allegations of criminality mm-hmm. are contained, those acts are mm-hmm. part of what you are potentially bringing civil. I think to clarify, like, just to give you an analogy, like, everybody knows the OJ, mm-hmm. like, you had the civil case,
right?
And then you had the criminal case.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have a potential for that situation, this is what you're talking about, right?
Yeah, but at the same time, anybody who gets a demand
right,
and says, if you don't do this, I'm going to sue you, I get every week of my life. That's blackmail.
Right.
That's extortion.
People love that word.
They do. It's so tell us, what is blackmail and extortion in this sort of case?
Well, I mean, in that particular situation, I think the concern is that let's to sort of connect it quicker, I guess, to the Jay-Z, is there was a situation with the Jay-Z, which is trending and it's all over the place. And I think that you are living without social media or anything if you haven't heard about this. Considering when it broke, it was on CNN
right.
and Good Morning America, which you wouldn't think. So in that particular case, there are allegations of wrongdoing, of sexual assault on a minor. And apparently the civil attorney for one of the minors had sent this 13-year-old girl we know, had sent a demand saying, listen, I'm getting ready to file this complaint, which isn't unusual.
Right.
And I probably, if I had to guess, actually sent the proposed complaint along with the demand
and
said, do you want to settle these claims? So what Jay-Z has come out and alleged is that in essence was blackmail, because he was saying that that A, you're saying that if I don't do this, you're going to sue me if I don't settle. And that really, that's a hard fetch for blackmail. Where it gets a little hairy in the blackmail is when they're, like I mentioned before, the criminal end of it, that they were suing based on a criminal act, the sexual assault. So was he, in essence, veiling that threat, saying that if you don't settle, then I am going to have you criminally arrested? And that kind of makes that blackmail hairy, because you're not legally allowed to say, if you don't settle with me,
right,
I'm going to civilly sue you. And, or worse, if you don't settle with me, I'm going to file criminal charges against you. That would be blackmail, but lawyers there have a way to finesse that by, for instance, sending the complaint and saying, this is the complaint we want to settle with you prior to it being filed. And that, under the law, generally is not considered blackmail.
Well, and one of the things we like to say in the law is, it's not a threat, it's a promise. This is the complaint. I'm going to file it.
Right.
This is what I'm willing to put out to the world, as compared to, well, this is what I could do. I think without that complaint, you end up with that notion of blackmail a lot easier.
Well, and also in that particular circumstance, if everybody remembers, the complaint was actually filed against Diddy, Puffy, whatever you want to call him.
Yeah.
And in that, there were allegations that said an unnamed celebrity male and an unnamed celebrity female. So the question, now we know who the unnamed celebrity male is, the question of the day, the unnamed celebrity female. I mean, people have thrown out there, is it Beyonce or is it Jennifer Lopez? Because this is going back to the green dress
day. Going back to the day.
Yeah.
But in that notion of, well, who is it?
Yeah.
Confidentiality comes into play, because if I'm going to pay you $1 million,
right,
back to Austin Powers, $1 million.
$1 million?
I want you to keep quiet. That's what I'm buying for my $1 million, is really, I'm buying your silence.
I think it'd be a little more than $1 million.
Okay. Yeah. Which, again, the same.
I think the demand was a little more than $1 million.
But the same as in Austin Powers. He didn't sell that for $1 million.
Right.
So it's this notion of, what is it that you're, what's the value of what you're paying for? But that goes back to, but can you say to somebody, I won't let the state do what the state needs to do as far as a prosecution, and you will cooperate because I bought your silence.
So as we both know as attorneys, and it's kind of out there, confidentiality agreements or provisions or clauses in a settlement agreement are pretty common.
Every week of my life.
Right. It's a pretty common thing, and non-disparaging provisions, meaning you can't say negative things about somebody. That's not uncommon, and I don't think anybody would think that that was problematic. Here's the thing. If you enter into a confidentiality agreement as part of a settlement, or in general, just you enter into one, that does not prevent you from being subpoenaed to testify.
That's a key word, though.
Yeah.
You can't just go, oh, pick me.
Right.
Because you have a confidentiality agreement. And to get around that, and I don't mean that in a bad way, but you are bound by it. So if you're bound by it, how do you say, yeah, but I'm willing to talk?
Well, that gets a little hairy because subpoenaed or the police bring you in to question you, you're still okay.
Mm-hmm.
But Chris is right. You can't call them up. I'll do an old phone, a real old phone,
Rory.
Or call them up and be like, hey, I signed this and yada, yada. But also, you could have called them up first, started the investigation, which may have happened in this particular, or may not. I don't represent either party, so we don't know.
These are allegations?
Yeah. And started that ball rolling, then made the settlement with confidentiality, and then the police bring you in to ask you questions as part of their investigation. And that brings up another thing. If you didn't cooperate with the criminal investigation, you could be hit with charges for not cooperating.
Obstruction of justice,
a number of things.
A number of things. But most of the time in a confidentiality agreement, at least the way I like to write them, is if you are having a legal process, you know, subpoena called in by an investigation, you don't voluntarily talk without a legal process.
Mm-hmm.
And even then you're supposed to let me know so that I can say, we have a confidentiality agreement here. I'd like it to be recognized, honored, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But think about the public good here. I mean, if somebody really did witness and participate in the rape of a 13-year-old girl.
So horrible.
Your skin crawls. There's not a bleach in the world to make you feel clean. When you read about these things. So at what point does somebody who's signed a confidentiality agreement because they're worried about what somebody who's really powerful and their lawyers could do to you? I mean, isn't there that notion that the court could say the public good requires them to do what they need to do anyway?
I mean, in this particular case with a minor, I'm not going to second guess what a 13-year-old who was raped should or shouldn't do for their mental health or anything else related to that.
No, but just the court saying, you're going to do this. We need you to talk, even if you've signed all these other things, because I'm sure that person's terrified at a certain point.
Well, at this point, she's not 13 either.
Right.
So,
right.
Yeah, that was 24 years ago.
I mean, not that long ago, Me Too and Harvey Weinstein. I mean, think about some of the people who said, you know what, I signed an NDA. Guess what? I'm breaching it.
Mm-hmm.
The world needs to know.
Yeah.
And think about, you know, that notion of confidentiality.
Yeah.
So I think we may be looking at some of those issues going forward, but the gossip is rampant right now. I mean, let's face it. These are scandalous allegations. And, I mean, his daughter, Blue Ivy, got to voice something in Moana, too. I mean, that's a big deal. I mean, voice acting work is really hard, and they say she did a great job. So the whole family comes out to support her at the red carpet thing, and all they do is talk about, and Jay-Z accused of raping a 13-year-old. I mean, this is the sort of thing that, no wonder he's coming out swinging. But no matter
scandal. What is the old saying? Because, you know, she's the English major.
Shakespeare.
You know, the old saying that who you hang out with, it may fall on you.
Yep.
And so there is no doubt, and there's evidence and pictures, that he was very good friends with Puffy, P. Diddy, whatever you call him. I'm calling him P. Diddy.
It wasn't at that time. I mean, really.
So,
he was the industry.
No, going forward. And then we have the tape. When he's in jail and he's saying, has anybody talked to Z?
Right.
Now, we don't know that's Jay-Z for sure, but...
Oh, no, we don't.
You know, we also don't know if he really wanted the pizza boxes thrown away.
Right.
So, so the point is that, what is the saying, though? When if you're like, you know...
Oh, you lie with dogs, you get fleas. that's Shakespeare.
You know, even as a child, my mom would be like, you are who you hang out with.
Mm-hmm.
So if you hang out with somebody, then it's going to be assumed you're doing the same thing, right or wrong or whatever.
Right,
so.
But we're still in that situation where legally, if somebody threatened to say, I threatened to do, I'm going to follow through with this criminal complaint if you don't pay me.
You can't do that. So yeah, just to get to the punchline here, people, you can't do that. Okay.
And
attorney can't do that because both of us get clients sometimes and they think, well, I know I can't do that.
Right.
But can't you do that?
No.
I can't do that as an attorney. Nope. I would get in even more trouble than if you did it.
Right. You've got coercion. You've got duress. We hear people all the time, I was coerced into doing that.
Oh, they love throwing that word
around. They do. But it's still that notion of, well, I was told that my whole family was going to go down because you were going to report me to the police if I didn't pay you.
Right.
$1 million.
Right.
But I do think the notion of confidentiality, particularly during settlement discussions, mm-hmm. which we all know is very sacred in the world of attorneys, you know, what at what point does, you know, the concept of our lips are sealed, got my Go-Go's reference in there, come into play. Come into play. So I do think that these are really difficult topics. I mean, beyond the just horrific allegations that are involved in this case, but the legal part of saying to somebody, well, you know, you're worth $1 billion. What's $100 million to you?
Well, I think it's complex, like our wine.
red blend.
And a little mid.
I'm like, okay, Caymus, come on, a cork. Come on. If this is a Caymus bridal, for goodness sake.
I think your point that the $2 chuck, and I'm hoping everybody knows what she's talking about from Trader Joe's, you know, the cheap wine, but it's not $2 anymore, right?
No, it's a little more than $2, but it's always $2 chuck.
But it has a cork, and it actually has branding on the cork,
right.
So I don't know what's going on. But this isn't bad. This isn't a bad wine, and how much was it?
It's $20 or less.
Yeah.
So it's a lot of times on sale for $17.99, but I always think of the old Muppet movie with Steve Martin. Would you like to smell the bottle?
Actually, does it smell?
Does it smell?
Smells like metal, people.
Yeah.
Actually, it smells like metal and old wine. But
they could do better. But again, there's a cork shortage. I get that, but still. Mm-hmm. Stop.
All righty. So that is going to be our episode for today. Wine by the Case, Uncorking Legal Insight, one bottle today.
One bottle
at a time. Conundrum. And,
again, legal insights like fine wine take a time to fully appreciate. So we want you to make sure and subscribe. Tell us what topics you're interested in. Tell us if you like Conundrum, or perhaps, you know, if you know one of my other little vineyards I like is Stoltman from Solvang. It's $30. So the $10 difference to me is well worth it, and it has a cork. But
which keeps the bugs away.
You know, it's just one of those things. It's kind of nice to take out the corkscrew and open it up, but we will definitely be discussing more wine, other interesting topics, including hopefully some $2 chuck, as well as Trader Joe's in general, because they've got some scandals too.
Well, that's our next episode.
Yep.
So that should air in about 2 weeks. And we are going to be talking about Trader Joe's.
And the trademark, wine fraud, intellectual property, all sorts of things. Is what is it that causes you to think that something is what it's not? But in the meantime, cheers to justice and good wine.